Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Man. If this is global warming, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
It's nice, isn't it?
Don't shake your head at me, Dan Weinbaum.
This is terrible.
Just because you can't open Snow Creek just yet with your toboggan.
Now, they have had 93 inches of snow up at Jay Peak, up in the Northeast.
Yes, that's why I don't live at Jay Peak. Everyone's in a good mood. The sun is shining.
It's glorious.
I went to the grocery store today. The funniest human interaction happened to me today at Hy-Vee, shameless plug.
Do tell.
You know, we're getting ready to go see my mom and dad, but we're out of groceries. We're kind of in that in-between stage.
You don't want to stock too much,
yeah,
but you don't want to stock too little.
$200, but also we can't be eating out the next three nights. So I just went to get a couple of staples to get us to the weekend. I had lettuce in my cart, one tomato, and a package of mushrooms. I'm right there in the produce aisle.
Sounds like a party.
And I turn around to come back with a fourth item. And this guy, this really, really tall younger guy, has now taken his items and put them in my cart and is just wheeling my cart away.
Oh, sir.
He had his earbuds in, like he was either on the phone or listening to music.
Or he was on mushrooms.
It was the funniest thing that has happened in a grocery store to me in a very long time. I just kind of looked at him.
Free salad.
And I kind of waited. And then he looked down and he looked at me because I was looking at him. And he goes, "Oh my gosh." And I go, "Well, I mean, you can have my mushrooms if you want." And he just goes, "This is so weird. I'm so sorry. My cart's right over here." We stopped. We laughed. We had a human interaction. I moved over on my cart with enough of the bar for him to share. And I go, "Would you like to share my cart?" And he goes, "No, we're good, ma'am. I'm sorry."
Ma'am. How did that make you feel?
Oh, everyone calls me ma'am now. I'm leaning right into it.
It sounds like a start of a Hallmark movie.
Yes, it was. He was probably 25. He was so nice. Funny. I was like, "It's okay, young man. You're fine."
It would be called aisle 8.
No, stop it. He was a child. It was very funny.
Well, he's not a child if he's shopping for groceries.
Everyone is in a good mood. That was my point.
Well, I'm glad.
I didn't say, "Excuse me, sir, put down those mushrooms."
Fortunately, it did not evolve into a fight.
No, God,
oh,
no.
God, I would hope not.
I thought it was hilarious. I actually stood there for a second, and I thought, I wonder how long it's going to take for him to realize he's walked off with the wrong cart. And it was about 3 seconds.
I can see the headline now.
I'm always weird about leaving my, like, sometimes I'm in the grocery store, and you have to use the restroom.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if this is like a big shopping day for me, and I'm like, "Oh, I got to go to the restroom." And you park it
by the pharmacy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always by the pharmacy.
You can't take it in there with you.
Nope.
And nor would I want to, with all that fecal matter floating through the air. But it's never that I'm worried that somebody's going to take my cart. It's that they're let me rephrase, that a customer is going to take the cart.
Yeah.
It's that I'm afraid that, you know, I've put in all this work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who left this here?
I don't want to have to go back.
Right.
So, we need to restock it.
So here I am. I got my strawberries. I got my, you know, my muffin mix. I'm ready. You know, I've already ordered the cod and the salmon and the chicken from the meat department. And I'm just always afraid when I go in there. So I kind of rush it, afraid that a store employee is going to be like,
"Right. Do not touch my cart, sir.
you know, you've already put in like 30 minutes worth of work, and then all of a sudden Mother Nature calls, and you got to answer the call, and please don't make me do 30 more minutes worth of work.
I don't want to have to go all the way back there.
Anybody got time for that?
You need to just carry a little placard, a little sign around.
Yes, indisposed of at the moment.
BRB.
Shopping is underway.
BRB, I'll be right back.
So I know it's been a week since we have done a buzzword with Brian Busby. But I'm just throwing this out there. Before the holiday, do you think it would be possible to see if he would be willing to play along since the weather is so nice? You know, we try to avoid doing the Busby word of the day on the air. You know, if there's a hurricane wiping out mass amounts of our friends down south. I was online this morning and came across a 17th century word of the day on one of these websites that is trying to expand our collective vocabulary. Scott, we have to see if Brian will use this word.
What is the word?
The word of the day is spuddle.
Spuddle.
It will be your favorite new word.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I most certainly would be happy to. It is from the 17th century.
It's basically describing this
show. To work ineffectively. To be extremely busy whilst achieving absolutely nothing.
That's the new word for the show.
That's that
is Dana Parks. Working hard and achieving
it's like
nothing.
When your mom would tell you to clean your room or to clean up the kitchen and you didn't want to. And so you're kind of dragging your feet about it, and then she walks in unexpectedly. And what did we all do? Man, you start looking like you are busy.
Your mom made you clean the kitchen?
Yeah, that was my chore.
Really?
I had to unload and load the dishwasher. And of course, I had done nothing all day, but then I would hear that door close that she's home from work, especially in the summer. And man, you're like, gotta be tidying up here. She's here. She's here. Make it look like we're doing something.
The only chores I remember having to do when I was a kid was definitely clean my room and mow the grass.
Yeah.
And I think, which is kind of weird because I love cleaning my room, making the bed every morning as soon as I get out of it.
Weirdo.
I love a tidy bed. I despise mowing the grass so much that I pay somebody else to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
I love the sound. I love the smell.
Ugh.
I love all of it. I love the lawn.
I love working in the lawn doing, I mean, I did landscaping today. I was trimming the bushes back because, you know.
Digging in some dirt.
Yeah, I was bagging some stuff. But I do not even own a lawnmower. Don't even own one.
You have worked hard all of your life, and that is the one.
Wouldn't say I've worked hard.
Thing that
yeah,
I would
you
say.
You spuddled about.
You've spuddled about.
I've spuddled.
Very well for many decades, you spuddler.
I am a spuddler.
And I think if that's the one chore you don't want to do, you absolutely should pay one of the neighborhood kids to do it.
I you know, like everybody on my block, they have like a cleaning lady that comes by once or twice a week. And I do not have, I've never had a cleaning lady.
I'm surprised you don't hire yourself out.
I should.
You should.
Mm-hmm. I like to dust.
He is a duster, Dan.
Yeah.
We're down to once a month. The house isn't big enough that we need it any more than once a month.
Come to my house with a white glove, and you will leave with a white glove.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, the things that we take pride in and want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's something.
Well, you know, I've told this story before. I used to always ask my mom when I was a kid, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom for the most part. And which I think is the hardest job in America is a stay-at-home mom. And she would clean and dust that house all the time. And I would say to her, Mom,
what are you doing?
Yeah. Why? And she swears she doesn't remember saying this line. I distinctly remember her saying it. You never know when the general's wife is coming over.
You just don't answer the door.
Doesn't work that way on a military base.
House is a mess. I ain't coming to the door.
All right. Before everybody goes crazy, you haven't heard Sam. And every time he's gone, people are like,
oh, he got fired. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Where's Sam? Blah, blah, blah. Sam is enjoying a couple of days off. Okay. If you want to see Sam, he'll be at the Holiday Boutique.
Sling and dip
for the next 3 days. But Sam has not been fired, so don't even start. Kramer is doing an admirable job filling in for Sam today.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it.
Well, he just started. So.
We do appreciate it. He always does a good job.
He pushed one button correctly, so we're very proud.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
So
keep up the spuddling.
So Spuddler. 10-4. Dana Wright, Dan Weinbaum. That guy over there is Kramer. My name is Scott here on KM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
MBZ. Story here from the New York Post. You can't write these. You can't make these headlines up. It is a move.
Well, they try.
Well, they did. It is a move that might stink to some parents, but there's a new age way to change a newborn's undies.
Wait, I saw this headline. This is classic clickbait, and I cannot believe you've fallen for
this.
It's
from the New York Post.
Right. They're masters at that.
They really are.
Drenched diapers are no longer messes that need to be ripped off of a baby's bottom post-haste, according to new advice by early childhood development researchers in Australia. Instead, the experts are now encouraging moms and dads to request an infant's consent.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Before changing their diaper.
No. Yep. Oh, my God.
Would it be okay?
I think that I just had an aneurysm.
If I changed your diaper.
One long
this,
ago.
You know what this is? This is fake outrage designed to stoke more outrage to divide us further. No one is actually saying you should ask an infant for consent to change its diaper. The infant isn't going to understand what you are saying.
Having a heart-to-heart with your rugrat every time they go number one and number two could fall under the ever-controversial category of gentle parenting.
Oh, my God.
It's an ultra-permissive, anti-authoritarian approach to child-rearing that prioritizes empathy.
And what if the child says...
I'm not done with my sentence.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That prioritizes empathy, respect, connection, Dan, and communication over rules... and punishment.
What if the kid says no?
Well, then you sit in your poo and be uncomfortable.
Let me know when you're ready for the dung to be removed from your undergarments.
Sir.
Sir.
I'm a parent. I ain't got time for all of this.
I do think there's a conversation to be had. Just hear me out.
I can't. I'm going to sit back and just watch.
I do think there are important conversations to be had with toddlers as they grow about Santa Claus and the children when you go to visit, the children that are screaming in terror.
That's usually the Easter Bunny.
Who do not want to sit on Santa's lap. I think there's a conversation to be had about that because we preach stranger danger. And then you see parents putting these, quote, hilarious photos online of their two-year-old who is absolutely terrified. There's a picture of me.
It's a rite of passage.
But you, it was the Easter Bunny, wasn't it?
At age two, with sex offender Bunny. I'm sorry. he smelled like beef and cheese and whiskey. And they sat me on that.
If there's not alcohol in there,
weirdos laugh.
I mean, the 70s were rough.
I think I'm still in therapy. So I think... there's a conversation to be had about that. There's a conversation to be had about, do you have to kiss a relative at the holidays the way we used to have to? You go plant one on your uncle so-and-so's
well,
cheek.
Well, no, it was on the lips.
I don't like that either. I think there are real conversations to be had in this space. Asking consent to change an infant's diaper is not one of them.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
That was a long walk to the end zone.
Well, there it is.
Okay.
Why would they even... Why would they even take the time?
Because they want you to click, they want you to click on it, Dan.
I know. But to assign this and have somebody write it up and then to publish it, I just...
You know, there are things that we did back when we were growing up that were absolutely not acceptable in a way that we've learned and we are better today.
Like what?
Forcing kids to take a shower in the seventh grade or swim naked laps for punishment.
One, that one really scarred you, didn't it?
Because that really, at the end of the day, is assault.
But that's a long way from changing a baby's diaper.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there are conversations in this space that need to be had. And then there's the ridiculousness of asking a child, do you need your diaper changed?
Okay, maybe it was because when you grew up in the military, you may not know this. We do not go to Department of Education schools. Okay? We go to Department of Defense schools.
Sure.
So every school on a military base is under the purview of the Department of Defense,
sure,
not the Federal Department of Education. So I don't know if there was a difference between DOE and DOD schools.
Clearly.
But I don't ever recall ever being forced to take a shower after gym class.
And then prove that you did. You know, we had...
I would have never taken a shower. I was so intimidated by the idea of standing in a shower, like, you know, with like six shower heads coming off of one pole.
That's every child in middle school, Scott.
Of course. You know, because some people are...
Mature earlier,
that is correct.
You had the one guy, like, is he 23? Why does he have a beard? We're all 13 here.
And middle schoolers, they all smell.
Yes.
And so I don't ever remember being told you have to take a shower.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing.
Someone should be sued for the things that they asked us to do.
In my lifetime.
Let me rephrase that. The things that we were told to do.
And how would one prove that one had taken a shower?
You had to open your towel and show the gym teacher as she sat there with her notebook that you got in and got out. It was...
Like you had water on you?
Child abuse. That is what that is, and we allowed it. And so,
was this Topeka?
Yeah. And so you see these stories about this, should I ask a child for consent to change their diaper? Maybe the person that wrote that grew up in the environment where we were asked to do very bizarre private things that no one should be forced to do for a grade.
I don't think they're thinking that far. They're thinking, ooh, a paycheck.
I don't know, Dan.
That's why I wrote it.
Scores of us are still so scarred.
Okay.
There were young boys, you know, 13, 14 years old, middle school age, junior high, that were forced to do naked push-ups in the locker room for punishment.
Okay, so I just got a text from a friend of mine. I'm not going to name any names here because I don't want to embarrass him, and I don't know the teacher. I know the teacher he's referring to, but I can't prove that this is true. My friend that I went to school with in Lansing said in sixth grade, Mr. Blank made a shower while he stood there.
Yes, it was part of the grade. And, you know, we were also growing up back in a time where
20th century.
You didn't question authority. No, I don't think anyone went home and said, you're not going to believe what we have to do for a grade in gym class. This is so weird.
Did you tell me one time that if you were, I'm going to try to clean this up.
Yes.
If you were
on your cycle,
you had that. Somehow you had to prove that?
You had to announce it, and then only then did you not have to shower.
But would they keep track of when you said you were on your cycle?
Yes, they most certainly did.
So you couldn't say, today I'm on my cycle, and then in 2 weeks from now, say I'm on my cycle.
It in what world? Someone should be jailed. Why was that a thing?
I don't know why a lot of these things were a thing back in the 20th century, the 70s, the 80s. But I think that we were still close to a time where a lot of this was new. Public
showers
education.
Were new.
Well, showers in
public hygiene.
Middle schools, maybe, Scott. Ours were little roundabouts. It was circular, and there were three or four per, think of like a hula hoop.
Okay.
You know, and then there were three or four of those.
And there was no privacy whatsoever.
There were these little plastic curtains that didn't cover anything. And then the towels were hand towels. The towels didn't cover anybody.
Just God, wait till you go to boot camp.
I hated middle school. But by then, Dan, you're an adult.
No, you're not.
At age 18, you signed
18,
up for that.
19, yeah, yeah.
Communal showers, you know, was a thing
and see,
in
that's
college.
Part of the thing in the 20th century. I mean, men used to go skinny dipping, and it wasn't a big deal. They just went swimming, you know, back in the early part of the 20th century. If they were going swimming, they just dropped and just
if some
did
child
it.
Came home today and said
things
my gym
were different.
Teacher made me do naked push-ups,
well,
someone
I mean,
would be in handcuffs.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And 8 here on Dana and Parks. We started with a story from the New York Post about some new age researchers who suggest that you should ask your toddler, is it okay if I change your poopy diaper? And somehow ended up in a conversation about having to take showers in the 1900s when we were in middle school and high school and were forced to take those showers with our teachers watching.
See, when I was in boot camp, when we were 18, 19, 20
years old.
Where did you
go? Where did you go? You were in the Navy.
I was in the Navy. Boot camp was up at Great Lakes.
Okay.
One of the things you learn is that not everybody knows everything by that age. There's certain things that they weren't taught about their personal hygiene and body cleanliness and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of the stuff we're talking about is rooted in that idea of teaching children how to actually clean and take care of themselves, because apparently they're not learning it at home.
Right. But I think, you know, schools play a very important role in our society. Not saying that they don't.
Of course they do.
I don't know that one of those roles back when we were growing up in the 1980s should have been the shower for all of the obvious reasons and issues that opens the door to.
But Dan, you were saying that some people, even at the age of 18, when they've joined the Navy, don't necessarily understand certain proper uses of hygiene.
Sure.
Was the sergeant, I don't understand Navy ranks, so you get my
That's
point.
All right, yeah.
Was the sergeant going to run into the shower room and go, you're not cleaning that properly?
Well, sometimes. And if somebody was a mess, they would get some special instruction to go and take care of things and be given some guidance.
Okay.
You know, there's other things like how to shave,
yes,
how to make sure you clean your pits, how to make sure you clean elsewhere.
Completely different in the military. And once you're 18, these were 13-year-old kids.
Right. But what I'm saying is at the time in education with this whole public thing, where, you know, public health and teaching all the children, public education, we're here to teach these children how to be members of society. And many times they aren't getting this information at home.
Okay.
So, yes, you need to be checked to make sure that you're clean. Yes, you need to make sure that you're getting your shower.
But I never,
et cetera.
I was never in the military. I never took a shower at school. And my parents never came into the bathroom to teach me how to take a shower.
Just,
yet somehow I figured it out.
Yeah.
And now you obsess about it and take multiple showers a day.
I take three showers a day. That is correct.
Your parents didn't teach you how to shower?
No.
Huh.
I just figured it out on my own.
Mm.
You take the soap. Back then, it was a bar of soap. Now we use the liquid. But back then, you would take the bar of soap, and you would just rub it all over your skin.
But you do learn that. Like, in the bathtub at age four, they're teaching you those things.
True.
I remember my grandma used to say to me, you need to take a bath because you don't want to go to school and have anyone say that Dana's smelly.
Mm-hmm. Who said that?
My grandma used to say that.
Let's go to
She would shame me into bathing.
Let's go to Ashley in Bonner Springs. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
Hi.
So it was interesting when Dana said that she couldn't recall like what kid would probably go to their home and say to their parent, like, you know what was weird today? I actually had a situation similar to that where my tennis coach would, when we were late for practice, he would then have the person that was late stand on one end of the tennis court, and then the rest of the team would stand, excuse me for the noise, I'm dumping a load.
No, you're fine.
Sorry, I did that earlier.
He would have us, gross. But he would have us stand on one end as the team, and then the person who was late stand on the opposite end. And the goal was to hit them, but he would have the person that was late bend over, and depending on sometimes what you had on or if you felt sassy or not, he would have you flip because, you know, we wear our tennis skirt.
Yes.
They have, the Spanx underneath it. He would have to flip that up, and you just bend over so that your bottom is facing your teammates, and they just get to hit the ball, and then
at your butt
is you. Yeah.
And then did you tell your mom about that?
I surely did. Yeah.
Because
I don't take too kindly to that.
No.
If you hit me, I get to hit you back. And if that would be a problem, I need to say something.
Good for you for saying something, Ashley.
Wait, hang on. If you were late to practice, you had to stand on the other side of the tennis court and bend over and let your teammates take shots at you with tennis balls.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There are just some people that should not be coaching Ashley or around children under any circumstance. They're just...
I concur.
Now, Dan would say, well, that's probably
right,
how...
Go drop your load.
He was disciplined when he was late. But don't we know better now? Like,
didn't we know better then?
Amen.
I mean, in what world does somebody say, you know, the kid's late. I'm thinking I'm going to let people take shots at them with tennis balls.
Well,
that sounds like a good idea.
Did you used to have to run laps if you were late? Like,
sure,
I've heard of that. Like, the whole team has to run a lap if you, as a player, are late or miss practice or, you know, everyone is collectively punished as a team.
Yeah, yes, but you didn't know who. For example, in high school football, if coach was not satisfied with the practice, there was going to be extra work.
Sure.
We would either have to run, what were they called? Jack-o-leans, is that the name of the fitness guy back in the 1900s? We would do these they were called Jack-o-leans. And, or we would have to put somebody on our back and run up the hill.
Yeah.
If coach wasn't satisfied with the practice. But that's because we never knew who it was.
Jack-o-lane.
Okay, thank you.
Terrible.
Jack-o-lanes, that's right. Oh, those were awful. But we never knew who it was that put us in the... I mean, we've got 60 kids.
Oh, so they would just say, one of you...
Practice was not what we expected.
Yeah.
So we're doing Jack LaLanne's today. Or we're running the hill.
I mean, the whole point of the thing is to not be abusive, you know.
But we still see that to this day, Dan. We see that. And at the collegiate level, my God, we still have coaches that are being fired, as they should, for abusive behavior toward athletes. And at some point, you can no longer say, well, that's just how they learned. Or that's just how, you know, their coach taught them. No.
It's an educational facility. Maybe learn something.
Yeah.
Or is it punishment?
Yeah.
Somebody on the text line says what that woman just described is called butts up.
Yeah, the game of butts up. We
There's
used to play
a
that.
Name butts for up. It? Butts up?
Butts up.
What you would do is you would take a tennis ball, you would throw it at a big wall, and you would try to catch it. If you dropped it or touched the ball and didn't catch it, you would have to run to the wall and touch it before somebody else took the ball, threw it, and hit the wall. And if you didn't make it, you would have to stand there with your hands against the wall, with your posterior facing all your mates, and they could take the ball and throw it at you.
Okay. Good God.
What kind of world did we live in?
It was one of the best games ever. We could not wait till third period was over so we'd go out and play butts up.
Scott in Kansas City. Scott, hello.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, I find this kind of funny because back when I was in school in the 70s and 80s and grade school and high school, I played soccer. And if we got a penalty or if we were late, like that girl, they used to put us in the goal and the whole team get to do penalty shots on us.
Oh, my gosh.
No padding, no nothing. And I went to a Catholic school, mind you. This was a priest, a nun, and a coach. All there doing this. And we used to get hit with rulers when we were bad in school. I mean, I've got broken knuckles from when I was a kid from being hit by a ruler or by a nun.
What is that called, getting wrapped? Is that right?
Well, we didn't call it getting wrapped. We just called it getting knuckles. And the ruler's name was Betsy. I will never forget.
Why was the ruler's name Betsy?
That's what Sister Eileen Shaw called her ruler.
It had a name.
Sister Eileen.
Now, I remember this, Sister Eileen Shaw. We called her Squirrely because she was a little out there. I remember that from when I was in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. That's how long ago it was.
I'll be darned.
Thank you for the horrifying look back at memory lane. Our principal had a paddle. I don't know that it had a name. I never saw it.
Were you ever swatted?
But I will tell you, everyone knew that Mr. Ross had a paddle.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew it.
I only got swatted once. One time.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth grade, Mrs. Wilkerson.
Mm.
I still remember her name. Meadows Elementary School, Fort Hood, Texas.
So much of this has changed over the years. I mean, 150 years ago, yeah, you were going to be beating on children. And then that started to change over time and over a century.
Because it's assault, Dan. We call that assault and battery.
Although, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm okay with corporal punishment, but I think there are a lot of people that wouldn't mind if it came back.
It doesn't work.
It worked at Fort Hood. 913-586-7798.
Are you playing that song because he married his 14-year-old cousin?
Oh, he did, didn't he? Forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Brian in Kansas City. Brian, hello.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
So I just had a real quick similar story when I was younger. I had a speech impediment, and so I couldn't pronounce my R's correctly. And I still remember to this day. I was on the playground, and there was a group of girls running around. I called them a group of girls, but I can't say the word on the radio. But
I'm with you. I had the same group, Brian.
But I didn't say that word. I said a word that sounded like that word, and I can still swear today I never said it. But the girl told the teacher, who was a female, and she obviously believed her over me, and I got the paddle for that. But I mean, can you just imagine if that happened today? I'd be a millionaire over that lawsuit.
Right? Have you ever thought about looking over her up on social media and saying, I don't know if you remember me. My name is Brian, and I most certainly did not say that word.
Oh, I would love to go. If she's listening, Miss Garrity, I hope you're listening to this. You're not. She's probably passed away at this moment. But if I never said it, and I swear I never said it. And my mom knows I didn't say it, and you were a terrible teacher.
Brian, I know you didn't say it. I know you didn't say it.
Wow.
I'm a believer, Brian.
Okay. The only teacher I want to ever find again is my first and only teacher crush. Fourth grade, Mrs. Brolier.
Nice. Nice.
Fourth grade, right around the time, because the teachers were still in their very, very early 20s. Right around the time boys started thinking, oh my gosh, she is a beautiful woman and she's kind and she was nice to you and she was a good teacher.
I don't remember her first name. I want to think it was Deborah, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder whatever became of Mrs. Brolier.
All of my teachers, save for one in elementary school, were much older. And I mean much older. Like I think one of them was in her 60s. And not that that's old today, but for a teacher, that would be considered retirement
past,
age.
Past retirement.
Past retirement age. Yeah. I mean, she had white, poofy hair, the Q-tip, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I remember her name was Mrs. Lynn, and she was so nice to me. I loved her. But I'm not sure she's still with us today.
You know, I wish I could just, you know, like God could send down a letter tomorrow morning and all the teachers that I remember, like Mr. Dix, who D-I-X, who was my English teacher in ninth grade in Heidelberg, who was he was a great teacher, but he was colorblind. I think he only saw in black and white because he would come in with a green shirt, with a purple tie, with a brown jacket, and tan pants. And, I mean, every day the guy came in and it was, you would look at him and you're like, did we check that in the mirror before we left the house? And one day he explained to us that he was colorblind and that's why he wore colors. He didn't know what colors he was wearing.
Aww.
And nobody made fun of him. He was a good teacher. But one day, I don't know why he fessed up, but he just said, if you ever wonder why I come into class and I'm wearing colors that clearly don't match, it's because I'm colorblind. I don't know the colors of the clothing I'm wearing.
I wonder today, if you are colorblind, obviously there are apps to help you, and you know, but if you are single and you are colorblind, would you just not buy an entire wardrobe of white shirts, black shirts, jeans, you know, just
right.
something that
just keep
always
it simple.
Keep it simple. Everything would look fine.
Probably. Yes. It would be jeans. And well, I would ask somebody to help me, but just say, I'm looking for some jeans, blue, mm-hmm. because you know, you can get black jeans. You can get any color of jeans.
Yeah.
I need blue jeans. I need a blue shirt, some tan shirts, mm-hmm. and let's call it a day. Let's get to the checkout counter. Johnson County residents, by the way, this involves a shuttle to the airport. Johnson County residents may soon have another option to get to and from KCI. Lenexa and Overland Park are considering a new express shuttle to connect the airport to Lenexa City Center and the Overland Park Convention Center. A $2 million grant from MARC, Mid-America Regional Council, will help fund the pilot program. Overland Park and Lenexa leaders are scheduled to formalize their involvement in the program sometime this week. While the cities are expected to be involved in helping fund the airport shuttles, a spokesperson for the county said that Johnson County Transit will be in charge of operating the service. I love this idea.
Yeah.
I love this idea. I saw something the other day that I have never seen in my life. I was driving home. It was late. It was dark. And I saw a human being on the Joe. One.
I know.
I saw one person on the bus.
I know.
I have never in my life seen a person on the Joe. In my life. There was somebody riding the bus. But if you could do a shuttle from Lenexa City Center, which has a huge parking garage, if you've never been, and then, now the key is they're going to have to make this convenient. If you're offering if it's every 3 hours, nobody's going to use it.
It's got to be hop every, on, hop off.
Every hour. We're going to pull in every hour and take you up to KCI and then bring you right back, bring somebody else right back. That's the only way it's going to work. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes. That guy over there is Kramer. She's Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.